Hi, podcast fans. This is Josh, director of your Radiotopia bonus content. This is an interview with Nate DeMeo, host and creator of The Memory Palace. Keep listening to learn about the origins of Nate's fascination with history and his advice to aspiring storytellers.
Yeah, I'm Nate DeMeo. I'm the host of The Memory Palace.
So, Nate, what's your earliest radio memory?
I have a very distinct sort of formative memory, and that was we took a trip to Colorado from Rhode Island when I was, I think, 5 or 6, and there was a Kenny Rogers album that was really big on the radio, and there were like a bunch of hits. And I just remember them being on the air all the time. But then I remember hearing one of those songs like Lucille or Coward of the County or something like that, like a couple of years later, so I'm like 7 or 8, and just really being struck by how transporting the act of hearing those songs was. Like, they were no longer hits. My parents didn't play Kenny Rogers around the house, thankfully. But to hear these songs, like, I remember really feeling like this weird memory has been triggered, and it doesn't just come with like a flash of an image. There's like, I could kind of almost smell what it was like in Colorado. Besides it being an early radio memory, that was like a very early moment in which I became fascinated with memory itself and the ways that certain things sort of like trigger the past, and the past as this kind of like thing to be conjured. It's really kind of like at the heart of, you know, having the thing that I do be just kind of dwelling in the past professionally.
So where did you grow up and what was your childhood like, kind of in a nutshell?
Oh, sure. So I grew up in Providence, Rhode Island. My folks are now retired, but they both taught special education at Rhode Island College. So they taught people how to teach special ed. They both grew up in Providence, and each of them spent the, like, literally, except for a few years before their retirement, they worked or were on the campus of Rhode Island College. There was something just really cool that this was the place that my parents lived. This is the place where, you know, their parents grew up. Because at every turn, all of the stories that they would tell me would be tied like to specific geographies. Like, I remember having this moment when I was learning to drive stick, that there was this one really, really tricky hill on the east side of Providence. I was like, oh shoot, someday this is going to be the death of me and my clutch. And it was really hard, and I like kind of like made it up the hill like to the detriment of my clutch. And there was a specific story about the time that my grandfather used to drive a cab, and like he had a like kind of wacky incident on that hill. And I remember kind of thinking about the connection between the two of us in those specific moments. It's that same sort of fascination that I don't know entirely came from Kenny Rogers, but came from talking to my parents about their past, feeling like it was all around me, that it was really kind of palpable and powerful.
I think it's safe to say a lot of your listeners are aspiring storytellers in their own right. So what advice do you have for people trying to get started?
I will often have people say, hey, I'm thinking about doing a podcast. I think I'm going to kind of work like this. And the advice is always that you just do it and you give yourself the room to have it be bad. I really did spend a lot of time in my life fundamentally not realizing that the people who I admired, who did stuff that was cool, that I'd be like, whoa, what an interesting life that person must lead. On some level, I didn't know that they were real people. Like, there's just something that seemed sort of alien about it. And I felt that way about people of the past. And like, until I kind of like figured that out, that like Abraham Lincoln was just a dude doing dude things on some level, I really didn't know that it was kind of like okay to be ambitious about certain types of things. You know, I've kind of learned that not everyone will sort of succeed, but like they're fundamentally not succeeding when they're not trying is the dumbest, truest thing. You know, a novelist isn't necessarily Virginia Woolf. A novelist, by definition, is someone who's written a novel. So if you want to be a novelist, write a novel. You know, if you want to be a great novelist, write a great one. And that's a harder task. But to say, do you want to be a podcaster? Go make a podcast. You know, will it be like This American Life? Like, I'm not even going to say probably not, maybe. But the other thing to remember is that it won't be truly good and compelling and interesting. Maybe not for a long time, but it will be much, much further off if you spend time planning and not putting your head down and doing the work.
That's great advice. How about the time when you're not working on your podcast or doing radio things? What do you like to do?
You know, as it's become my profession, I'm starting to realize that it's something that just doesn't go away. Like, it's easy for me to throw a bunch of ideas on the board. I mean, it's history, so it's like there's so many cool things happened. But what I do need that is harder is to like find a thing that like, I connect with and that inspires me. And I've discovered that you can't go and seek inspiration, that inspiration comes from engaging sort of like in the wider world, that going to movies that are non-historical is like required. talking to your friends about the Los Angeles Clippers or the Boston Red Sox, for me, is required both to kind of like unwind or whatever, but weirdly, insights come from those things.
What's your like ideal workspace look like?
I do like old spaces. So if there were some like nook in some weird old creepy natural history museum where I could like work among the dead emus or whatever, I would love that. Like, there's this place in Providence called the Athenaeum, and it's this old lending library, and it's a gorgeous old building, you know, with creaky floors. And if I had like a desk there that had like Wi-Fi and Spotify, I'd be in heaven.
What's your favorite way to listen?
The only bummer about the podcast to me is that it's an intentional experience. It has that nice thing that I really do enjoy about being able to soundtrack your life how you want it according to experience. So you are boarding a plane, leaving your girlfriend behind for college. There's a song you want to listen to. Like, that's a magical experience. Has there ever been a better use of technology than that? I'm not sure. And so to like be able to choose kind of like how you listen to your favorite podcast and how you sit with them is awesome. But honestly, the best way to listen is to have something pop up on the radio that you weren't expecting. I live in Los Angeles, and it's a very difficult place to be spontaneous. Everyone's in their car, so you don't bump into anyone. And so, you know, radio is one of those places where that can happen. Like, that the song you're never expecting to come on the air comes on the air, and suddenly you're back, you know, in your five-year-old trip in Colorado because Lucille comes on the radio. There's no place that I would rather engage with some sort of audio that I loved than windows down, warm night, no traffic.
Could you talk about a moment that kind of assured you that this is what you're supposed to be doing?
There's this thing that I really chase about like the meaning of the story and like the what is this thing about besides its subject matter, and that it's slightly hard to explain, and it even feels sort of esoteric to me, and it feels kind of ephemeral. But when I was like, oh, this story, instead of being about this historical couple, is actually about that thing that happens in every couple that I've certainly experienced, and that even if, you know, people's economic circumstances, et cetera, are really different, this happens to everyone. And when I feel that, and I'm like, oh, good God, imagine like what it would like to be this guy. And like, oh, I can imagine that because this has happened in my marriage. There's a moment when I feel that, and I feel this great sense of pleasure and pride and relief. But then there's a moment where I realize that the person listening to it will get that. That like I have done the work to make sure that that person will have the similar feeling. The fact that I get to do that for a living, the fact that I get to like discuss the things that I care about, but moreover, the fact that I get to process the world and figure out like sometimes relationships are like this, and then articulate that, have like an art form that takes the ideas that I'm having about my experience as I age, as I day by day grow older, it feels like such a weird gift that I've given myself, if that doesn't sound too pretentious.
Yeah. Last thing, a few rapid fire questions.
Sure.
All right, middle name.
John.
What do you study in school?
Film studies.
Favorite song to sing in the shower?
Sadly, lately, it's been the Virgin America theme song. The safety video song.
In one sentence, describe your ideal Sunday morning.
Unplanned.
Pet peeve.
Pet peeve. I don't know if I have one.
Dream job if you couldn't be in radio or podcasting.
I think I'd like to direct something I had written.
Stranded on a desert island, only one podcast episode for the rest of your life. What would you choose?
Stranded on a desert island. I'm obviously going to get very tired of it. I might be better off like picking an episode of the Memory Palace merely so I can remember the mainland and what it was like more specifically. Then at least I would be like, oh, I remember when I wrote this, I was in that place. What was that place like? Who were those people that lived in that house with me? It would help me tie me to my old life.
You just heard Nate DeMeo of the Memory Palace sharing about growing up in Providence and how he finds inspiration for his stories. To check out all the bonus content, go to radiotopia.fm/rewards. Radiotopia.